Welcome to On Course, the teaching ministry of Pastor Hart Ramsey, where we offer simple biblical insight into some of life's most pressing issues.
What if I told you that a lot of the pain and difficulty and adversity you're experiencing is simply God aligning your now so you could be prepared for your tomorrow?
Prepare for the next few minutes to be encouraged, enlightened, and inspired. Let's join Pastor Ramsey and get on course. What's going on, good people, and welcome to On Course with Hart Ramsey. Of course, this is the space where you get to hear from the heart of God by way of the man of God. Of course, we're talking to Pastor Hart Ramsey, and we are talking very practically, as we tend to do. Pastor Hart, how are you, sir?
I'm good, GB. How you doing, man?
I am doing well. I think some people are probably still trying to recover from the last episode when we were talking about code switching and Easter. Yeah. And yeah, so we see you guys. We appreciate you. Thank you for rocking with us. And, you know, this year has just been kind of an interesting reminder of how the church as an organism has so much of its own news that it's almost like, don't have to talk about Kanye or anybody else at this point, because this is wild. So, yeah. Oh boy. So the news of this week got very interesting. There apparently was a men's conference that was going on, and this men's conference had what is considered to be an opener. The men's conference was at a church called James River Church. And well, I'm going to work backwards. I'm going to start with what the video presented, and then we'll fill in some of the blanks. So there was a video that went viral, clearly, of Pastor Mark Driscoll standing up during this men's conference. And he talked about how he was grieved at the opening of this conference. And he said that the opening of the conference featured a man who was on a pole that was similar to a strip pole. He talked about the man being bare-chested, talked about the man swallowing a sword. He said the man ascended up the pole when Jesus descended. And during all of this, the pastor of this conference, whose name is John Lindell, literally says, okay, hop off the stage, and rebukes the pastor and proceeds to say that, you know, hey, he talked to me for 30 minutes before, never said anything about this. This is wrong. People in the conference are going crazy. Like, okay, so as a pastor and just as Hart Ramsey, when you saw this, what went through your mind?
First of all, I had so many questions. I was like, first of all, okay, so you're going to have to update me on the new stuff that came out, but here's where I was. So we opening men's meeting with poles? What's that? Okay, so how I first saw it, right?
Yeah.
I know Mark Driscoll.
Okay.
I'm familiar with him. So when I saw him on the stage, I was leaning in to hear, because he always have a revelatory word. Mm-hmm. But when he starts talking about this, I'm like, what is he talking about? Then they start showing the clip of it down the little corner. I'm like,
right.
There's a lot to unpack, as you said, and I think it's worth unpacking, because it's yet another layer of things we need to address in the body.
Yes.
So before I make commentary, mm-hmm. Was it actually a male stripper?
Oh. So let's talk about this, because this is why I think this podcast is so important. I mean, you know, usually when people see these things, they go off of what's presented in however long the clip is. And then we get all the think pieces and the podcasts and all the things. So here's what actually happened. So the conference did indeed open with this gentleman. His name is Alex Magala. Now, this is what's interesting about this. He actually is one of those swords. You ever see the sword swallowing acts that happen?
Yes.
He does that. That's
in
what
the
he
circuses,
did.
Yeah.
Right. He's appeared on America's Got Talent. He's done this in a number of places. So this was what he did. It was a sword swallowing act. It was not a stripper. Okay. During the sword swallowing act, he started with his shirt on, took his shirt off. Again, not necessarily in a striptease kind of way, But it's part of the same act that he does everywhere. Nothing different. Part of climbing up the pole and swallowing, that's all part of the act. So that's the act that actually happened. There was not a stripper. It was not done in a striptease format. The pole was just, you know, the device that he used to climb up and climb down. That's what actually happened in this conference opener.
Okay, so there's a couple of things. So did the men receive it? Were the men complaining about it, you think? No?
Had not heard anything about the men complaining about it. Now, I'm not sure, you know, for the sake of those who are listening and watching, it's important to understand that there are some cultural differences here.
Yes.
So this was not a primarily African-American men's conference. It was a primarily a Caucasian men's conference. Right. And at these kinds of conferences, they do have these show openers, which they call them openers. And we'll talk about that a little bit later. I don't know if this kind of activity was something that was germane to that group of people, if that's something that they were, you know, they requested, or if this was just one of those things where, you know, hey, this guy was on America's Got Talent. We're going to bring him here. Now, I will throw this one factoid out, which we're going to have to come back to later. And that is the gentleman who did this is a born again Christian.
Okay.
It's an interesting thing. He is saved. We're going to come back to that, obviously, in light of everything that happened. So that's kind of some context around this.
Okay, so this is what I'm seeing. So there are layers and levels to this. The first layer is the choice of entertainment. Let's go back further. The first layer is that you think you need entertainment to start a men's conference. That's the first thing, Augusta. So the second layer is that your choice of entertainment. And then the third layer is when that entertainment goes left.
Uh-huh.
So those three. But yes. I think what it begins with is, it begins with, and now my eyes are opening to some things, because now you see, it's good to get the true story.
Yes.
So a lot of the commentary that's happening on social media is happening on a story that's not really laced with facts.
Right.
It's a lot of perception. And now it brings us back, Gerard, to the big issue between the two pastors, Pastor Lindell and Mark. Because what Pastor Lindell said is, if we had had a conversation in the office before,
right,
then maybe some of this information could have been exchanged. And then even if you disagreed, you could have spoken on it from an informed position, right?
Right.
And
right.
I think that's why the Lord tells us that we got to communicate.
Yes.
Because what it looks like is, even if it turned out to be a wrong thing, mm-hmm. and even if our Mark Driscoll still feels the same way, at least now he's informed, right? Instead of when it comes out, as we all are like, a male stripper. Oh God, most of the viral stuff is about a male stripper.
Right.
This podcast is not going to speak to that, because I don't like to address things from a position of error or a position of a lack of information. So let's speak to the fact that, let's go back and address the issue. Well, first, we're going to address the issue. They should have a conversation. The conversation should have exchanged facts. I think Pastor Driscoll should have said, Pastor Lindell, I heard that they were friends.
Mm-hmm. They are, yeah.
Right. So he could have had the conversation and said, listen, I totally disagree with this. And he could have said, hey, I didn't know you were going to take his shirt off. I've seen the sword swallowing thing. I thought it was cool.
Right.
And they had a conversation. Then come to consensus that even if Pastor Mark felt that this needs to be addressed before the men, it could have been addressed in the way they ended, with both pastors sitting on the stage having a discussion.
Right.
It would have really strengthened the brethren to learn how to deal with disagreement and differences of perspective, right?
Yeah.
So let's go back to the issue of the need for entertainment.
Before you do that, it's funny, that was one of the questions that I was going to ask.
Yeah.
Because, you know, this is not necessarily exclusive to this particular men's conference.
Yeah.
I've been a part of conferences. Many people know some of the churches that I've attended before. And at a space like Wave, there's always an opener.
Yeah.
And I say always, I mean always. There's always an opener, whether it is someone who comes in. We at one time, we had a young woman who did kind of the climbing acrobatic thing. It was not on a pole, but it was on, like, you know, some fabric or something.
Like Cirque du Soleil.
Yes, yes, yeah. Much like that. We've done that. We've had, you know, almost full skits. We've had, like, there are, openers are regular things in those environments at these conferences.
In that culture.
In that culture. So, so with that, I did want to lend to that question. Is there a space for entertainment in these church settings and the like, or is that out of left field, or is that something that's far more cultural?
Well, it's cultural, and it's always going to be entertainment. And to me, okay. So I think where the church, there has to be not a disclaimer, but an introduction. This is entertainment.
Yes.
If it's presented as ministry, I have a problem with it. It's not ministry, it's entertainment. For example, when we used to open our watch night services at NCC, mm-hmm. we always had a comedian.
Right, right.
Because we felt in that space, we were coming, it was a long year, we're coming together. This is a part of decompression.
Yes.
And sometimes the church is guilty of thinking that only worship and prayer constitutes decompression. And so we've taught an entire culture not to rest, not to enjoy, not to go out to theater, not to be involved in culture in any way, because that is not a part of spiritual decompression. So if he presented that as a part of our decompression protocol, then I get it, because mm-hmm. it's necessary. But you have to announce this is entertainment.
Right.
You know, okay, so there's that. And the second part of it, if there's going to be entertainment, you got to choose the entertainment that will fit. Okay, for me, regardless, I don't want to show up at anything and the dude can take his shirt off.
Right.
First, it makes me self-conscious because I don't have a chest like that and I don't have abs like that. So first of all,
I totally get it.
So if you put me in a position like that, then my manhood is challenged because I wanted to cover it because my stuff is going south and he was obviously in good shape. But when it was presented as a male stripper, then the question of the pastor's orientation, his spirituality, all this came into play because people were saying, well, if he's putting a male stripper, if he has the boldness to put a male stripper before the people, then what is he doing in his private time? To me, that the entirety of that whole narrative got thrown off by the lack of conversation.
Right.
And I have to tell you this, even in marriages, mm-hmm. in any covenant relationship, When conversation stops, certain things go lacking. For example, I found out and discovered that when my wife and I have more deep conversations of heart without offense or without having to protect myself, just open, free, non-judgmental conversation, my empathy for her, my love for her deepens.
Yeah.
Because as married couples, we become super frustrated with one another. People talk about, I want a husband. Let me explain something to you. When you live in those close quarters could be like really, really challenging.
Yes.
And if we don't understand, if our communication, you say, well, my wife and I been married for 8 years coming up mm-hmm. in May.
Yeah.
And if you don't, in those 8 years of compression, if your communication is not as deep as your marriage is long, then it's going to put you in a position where you're acting like we are, acting out on the wrong information. We were given the wrong information because a pastor did not get with the guy. Man, I have a problem with this guy that was there last time. Man, make me understand what you were doing. That right. conversation should have been had, and then maybe there should have been some empathy. Mm-hmm. The guy said, well, he was a stripper, he was this, he was that. And then this Pastor Mark go, well, I totally disagree. He took his shirt off. I didn't know he's going to do that, man. It was not to offend. He was mentioned to me. I saw some of his clips. And with open-hearted conversation, there could have been empathy. There could have been understanding. There could have been, even as a friend, he could have went out on the stage and said, hey, I know some of you, how many of you were here last night? You saw this. I don't know how you took it, but here's the backstory. Mm-hmm. There could have been so much more synergy and so much more agreement going into getting the right story out.
Right. Right.
Because I'm going to be honest with you, it was a bad look. Because here's where
Very bad.
Let me tell you where I was. So wait a minute. So you're going to invite me to a men's conference and you will have a male stripper? First of all, who do you think I
am? Right.
What do you think this is? Now I have a problem.
Wow. Right?
So there's that. And then the next part of it is, and then you're going to rebuke a pastor while he's in the middle of the... Let's talk about that.
Yeah.
So the question people ask me is, so what do you do if someone is up speaking something in that you disagree with? Do you take the rebuke, or do you do what was done last night? I mean, on the video, do you pull them off the stage?
More of our heart-to-heart conversation is on the way. Stay tuned.
We got something to say.
Listen.
Did you know that there is power in your words? Yeah. Cement that with the brand new remixes to the single It Is So from Hart Ramsey and the NCC Family Choir. Pick up the remixes to It Is So from Hart Ramsey and the NCC Family Choir, available now at all digital outlets.
Let's go!
Imagine being filled with a peace so deep that the world around you can't touch it. Pastor Hart Ramsey is on a mission to help believers understand what it means to have a healthy prayer-based relationship with God. He's doing that through his book, Seeking Answers, Finding Rest Through Prayer. In this book, you'll learn how to ensure your relationship with God is based on a new and improved covenant, which dangerous prayer habits to avoid, and what to do when prayer doesn't yield the answers you want. It's time to trust God enough to make your prayer life truly about Him. Pick up your copy of Seeking Answers, Finding Rest Through Prayer from Hart Ramsey today. Available now on Amazon, iTunes, and wherever books are sold. Stay connected with Pastor Hart Ramsey on social media, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Hart Ramsey.
Why, yeah.
Have you subscribed to Hart Ramsey's Uplift? It's his national text message service where daily you can hear from the heart of God by way of the man of God, Pastor Hart Ramsey. To receive this daily encouragement, text the word Uplift to the number 334-310-4278. Again, text the word Uplift to the number 334-310-4278. Uplift your spirit, encourage your heart, and empower your walk. Subscribe today to Hart Ramsey's Uplift. Do you love this podcast? There are several ways you can show it. You can share your love for this podcast on the socials and use the hashtag OnCourseHartRamsey or Heart to Heart. That's H-A-R-T, the number 2, H-E-A-R-T. You can also subscribe to this podcast on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and now you can find us on Spotify. So if you rock with Spotify, it's an easy way to access us. Search for On Course with Hart Ramsey and subscribe. Thank you so much for your continued support and keep listening to On Course with Hart Ramsey. Let's go back into today's heart-to-heart conversation featuring Pastor Hart Ramsey. Right.
So what are your thoughts?
You know, it's interesting because I don't know that I've ever seen someone put off the stage mid-sentence. I've never seen that. I've seen pastors come up after an attempt to correct what was said, but I've never seen them put off mid-sentence. And I guess where it could be challenging is it would be based on knowing your flock. If the audience is an audience that perhaps is not mature enough to be able to decipher if what they're hearing is truth or error, then before it gets planned, it's almost like, and you know this, if you're ever teaching a group of people music and you teach them the wrong way, you know, the wrong way gets stuck in their head and it becomes harder to teach them the right way, the right notes than the wrong notes. So if your congregation is one where, you know, it's going to take more work to undo this, then maybe you do that, though the look of it is crazy. Mm-hmm. So you got to have to weigh out, okay, which is the lesser of two evils here?
Yeah.
The other side of it, of course, is trust that they'll remember the last thing that was said instead of the first thing, which is where you come in afterwards and say, okay, let's straighten this out.
You know, I agree with, man, what you said is spot on. I am of the persuasion you let them finish and you come up and you correct it, even uncomfortable as it may be. Mm-hmm. But I really believe that a lot of the stuff we're seeing happen this year, the Lord is allowing it to happen to speak illustratively to lessons he's been trying to teach us from the Word and through his men and women of God for years. And to me, the one, especially in light of the ever-evolving and ever-revealed information about the backdrop of this, I think what we're learning, man, we comment on things so quickly, especially, and the worse they are, the more we have to say. And then when you go, okay, because someone asked me what I thought. I made a comment on someone's post. He was acting apostolically. Now, is he right or is he wrong? I thought Mark Driscoll, from watching him, there was an actual apostolic concern. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. If not for the choice of the entertainment, for what the entertainment did when it got on stage.
Yeah, yeah.
And then there was some liberty ticking as well, as it relates to the exegetical approach,
right?
Right. We exegete scripture. We don't exegete, you know.
Right. And
so he, you know, he takes it up. But preachers, we do that. Everything is the word of the Lord, you know.
Yeah, right. Shirt,
you know, he's disrobing. Then he gets on the pole. The pole is an Asherah pole, you know. And he climbs up the pole. He ascends and he doesn't descend. We need to get life. I mean, I'm saying, but we all do that, you know. Sure. She's a Jezebel because her dress was short. Nah, that's all she had in the closet, and she really wanted to come to church.
Right.
She's an exhibitionist because her cleavage was low. No, she didn't realize how low her cleavage was until she got out there and her pin broke. There's a lot.
Right. Right.
But then again, I want to emphasize, I think there isn't a strong message of the lack of conversation. Now, I disagreed with Pastor Lindell. I want to speak to this really quickly, if I could, Gerard.
Yeah.
Where he said to him, if you had a problem with me, you should have took it up in the office. The problem was not with you, sir.
Correct.
The problem was what he saw.
Right.
Right?
Right.
And so the problem, it was not a Matthew 18 problem.
Right.
It wasn't one of the problem if you have ought against your brother. That was not that. And what the church needs to understand is there's some things, and I'm guilty of not calling some junk out in public. Hmm. I had a situation one time where, and you probably were aware of this, where I had this person on the internet just talking crazy about us, my wife and I.
Oh, wow.
Never met this person. I don't know who she is. I don't know where she came from. Well, I know where she came from. She's, you know, she's related to my wife's ex-husband. But the bottom line is this. Said all these things, and I told my wife we will say nothing. Because we didn't want to give them air. But the problem with that is that people hear these, most believers can't discern truth from error. And the people who claim to be super spiritual, and they were calling people, telling them, you need to get away from him because, I mean, you hear what the woman's saying? She was a witch.
Wow.
She's a whole witch. Wow. And we can't, on TikTok, I see these witches. I discern them when I see them, right? Mm-hmm. And I look in the comments, you should see the Christians in the comment. They have no discernment. They have none. Their discernment is broken by this thing we call suspicion. Suspicion comes from insecurity, jealousy. So suspicion is actually a deformed discernment.
Wow.
It's deformed discernment. But anything that affects my heart will affect my discernment. Mm-hmm. If I have lust, it would affect my discernment. If I have any type of offense, if I'm into if I'm a gossip, a slander, whatever I allow to contaminate my heart, any weeds in the garden of my heart will affect my discernment. So you have a person out there saying something and it's hard to discern it because I've not done the homework of taking care of my heart. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Right? So I think this for us was all of us, it was a challenge. Still, I feel like this guy comes off the stage. I'm like, yo, first of all, I didn't know you were going to take your shirt off. We don't do that here.
Right.
And I got him to say, listen, I know this was entertainment, but the shirt off thing is, y'all, that's my bad. The pole thing, y'all don't judge me.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
But tell me what you think of the comment. Okay, check this out. The moment someone said we setting up a poll, I was like, okay, well, hold up. What are we doing?
Right.
Because I have a specific relationship in my mind to poll.
Sure.
Am I wrong, Gerard? I mean,
no, you're not wrong. I also think part of the challenge is you have to always think about the people that are out there.
Yeah.
The people and what they may or may not be wrestling with, you know? It was, I remember, the church I grew up in, man, everything was a sin. Like everything. Bowling was a sin. You know, the movies were a sin.
Bowling was a sin.
Oh, literally. Bowling was, and I was just like, huh? But I remember, you know, there were times as I got older and I would be working the corporate space, we would go to the pool hall for lunch because they had this great lunch deal. We could play an hour of pool, decompress, all the things. Well, there were some people that wouldn't go with me. And I was like, well, what's wrong? For them, that place, that environment reminded them of places where they gambled. And so it was very difficult for them. So they didn't. So my thought is, with something like this, whether it's someone taking off their shirt, a pole, you do have to think, okay, what about those people who might be struggling with this? And especially it, and a pole with a room full of men.
Yeah, man.
Probably not, you know what I mean? Aesthetically, the thing you want to do. And then you got to ask yourself, most people, when they see a pole, I'm not going to say people aren't cultured enough to think something else, but the general familiarity with a pole is not someone who swallows swords.
No, it's sexual. Yeah. It's going to be sexual.
Yeah.
Of course, someone super spiritual could say, well, Moses put a serpent on a pole. God told me
it was a different kind of pole, though.
Right. And so let's start with it. All poles are created equally, okay?
No,
pole is a pole that most husbands will welcome their wives to bring into the bedroom.
Yes,
you see what I'm saying? And don't judge me. I don't care what you say.
Yeah.
The bottom line is, though, is that, so we come back to the pastor who allowed this. How much did he know that ahead of time? Right. And the way he defended it, is it safe to say that maybe that he's more, I use the word loosely, not in a political way, but more liberal than a Mark Driscoll be?
You know, it's so interesting because as I've rewatched that footage, Driscoll leads off by saying this is not a rebuke.
Right. But it was.
It was. And it was certainly taken. To me, I always look at how was it received. And Pastor Lindell was clearly offended by it.
Yeah, he was embarrassed.
His tone, his tenor. And one thing we both know, but for those who may not be aware, we talked about those particular cultures. That culture in church world is very particular about the brand of church not being made ashamed or not being embarrassed. That is the brand of church, and I say this respectfully, who if someone has a moral failure, they fire them, they remove them, they don't have a path of redemption for them because you're not going to bring shame to the brand. So I kind of read it when he said it as you're attempting to shame the brand in front of this massive men's conference, I'm not having that.
Yeah, but that's the same brand of church that would embrace a political candidate who checks all the boxes for moral failure, right? And, but you see, we're going another direction because they will have their leader in the fear of God of even having a human failure or human stumble for fear of the brand being tarnished. Well, that's a whole, there's the hypocrisy behind the whole thing is another conversation to be had. But I'll say this, for me, the lesson that Hart Ramsey took away from this is that I came to a conclusion. I didn't stop to pray about it because what's to pray about? I mean, it's clearly, but when I did kind of settling praying for the body of Christ at large, I got a sense in my heart, go back and there's more to this.
Oh yes.
The Cliff Note version, this like what they threw out there quickly, there's more to this. And that's when I started to hear the thing about he wasn't a male stripper. He has a family. He's a Christian.
Yeah.
He actually was embarrassed by the way it was taken.
Yes.
So I knew we need to talk about this. I said Gerard is gonna call me. We've got to talk about this.
Yes. Yes.
So for those of you, listen, for the people who are watching this podcast, I want to give you some takeaways. Number one, I think the lesson in this is number one, how something to focus on is Christian entertainment right or wrong. There's nothing wrong with Christian entertainment, but you got to be super, super particular about what you label as Christian entertainment. There's some things I can't watch. They affect my prayer life.
Yeah.
There are other things I can't watch. They affect my rest. I can't sleep when I watch that stuff. Sure. There's some things I can't watch because they arrest my attention to the point where I would think about them after I leave the entertainment. For example, there's some movies I can't view.
Sure.
There's the entertainment piece. The question is entertainment right or wrong? We need to be entertained. Mm-hmm. But do we need to be entertained at every conference? Is a decision for leaders to make based on the congregation they're leading. That's the first thing. The second thing I believe is that we need to talk about, Gerard, is again, the need for communication. And we could isolate that. We could isolate this need for communication because we don't talk to each other enough.
Right.
We don't. And we're so afraid that when we start a conversation, what happens if we disagree? Because we have not learned conflict resolution. So we don't have to resolve conflict. So whenever we disagree, it explodes into an argument, and then when we both walk away from the moment with deep resentments and deep wounds, and any kind of connection we had is lost. But we sometimes stay in the relationship, whether it's church, whether it's marriage, whether it's friendship, we stay in the or business. So we stay in the relationship with holding on to the resentments. We're divided already. Mm-hmm. We're already divided in our hearts. But for the sake of whatever we're working with, we can't voice it yet.
Yeah.
There was a clear communication breakdown in this. And then number four is messaging. I think, man, messaging, we have got to learn with social media. You literally have a newsroom in your house.
Yes, absolutely. You can,
I believe that the messaging got messed up. Once they found out, Pastor Driscoll or whomever, once they found out that they wasn't what I thought, then they should have come back. Not just this thing on stage, but this needs more conversation.
Yeah.
Not just that someone got it wrong or I still see it this way, but you're my brother. Not that. I'm talking about sitting out in front of the camera saying, listen, here's what went wrong. Right. Here's what should have happened. And that way we're the wiser for this debacle that happened, and the enemy doesn't have an advantage over us.
Right. Right,
you know, and another thing too, be careful what train we jump onto on social media.
Yes.
There's a lot of stuff on social media that I see that's it's wrong.
Yeah.
There, especially like this, especially the hot button stories, the clickbait stories. A lot of them are wrong.
Right,
they are wrong. They are so out of pocket, not even close to the truth. And because someone is not addressing something that's not true does not mean that you get a right to run with it. There's some time, I'm gonna tell you, for me, people say things about me, I wouldn't even like give them the time of day to respond. Why? Because they're so far off.
Right.
Okay. Do not be dumbed down by social media because something big happened or because whatever happened. Yeah. Do we have a right to comment? Of course. Do we have a right to think a certain way, have a worldview? Yes. Mm-hmm. But be sure that you're not allowing yourself to be messed up over this stuff, because I'm gonna be honest with you, I raised my hand. Yeah. I'd already had a whole, I don't preach on these things, but I was gonna talk to my church about why we do what we do. And then I was like, no, I'm not gonna do that. I didn't address it on Sunday.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, I didn't address it on Sunday.
I was like,
something is going on.
I get it. And so, you know, you mentioned the fact that since that video has gone viral, the two have come together on a conversation and many kind of thought it was over after that. However,
I saw that.
However, so as of we're taping, it's last night. Just know it happened this week following the conversation that was public. Pastor Lindell was in front of his church at their midweek prayer service.
Yep.
And in there, he had a lot to say. He broke out text messages that had gone on during the week from Lindell or from Pastor Driscoll, Apparently, he said Driscoll made accusations about his son, saying that there were deep, dark sins that had happened there. You know, he is basically saying that if Pastor Driscoll does not apologize, then they're cutting ties, you know, and he had five different points. And one of those points was he felt like this whole thing has brought up the past of the performer who was once a stripper, is no longer. He's given his life to Christ. And now that guy's had to kind of relive his whole past and all those other things. And then there were a number of other things. And I just was like, okay, this has all taken another life of itself. Yeah. Let me ask you this. Do you think Pastor Lindell is right in talking to his congregation and continuing this narrative, or should it have ended after their, you know, on camera conversation?
Well, this is the thing. If he's still talking about it, that means he's still wounded about it.
Yeah.
What I learned was that he went through this whole thing and then had them to delete the footage from social media from public.
Wow.
So the fact that he had deleted lets me know that he feels in some kind of way that it was not appropriate for public consumption. So my question is, why did you say it? Now, for lack of a better term, devil's advocate, if he was being taunted or tormented or attacked or falsely accused by Pastor Driscoll behind the scenes about, well, the Lord showed me this, and if Pastor Driscoll's trying to justify a misunderstanding of a situation, and so Pastor Lindell felt the need to kind of address it with the congregation, that was justifiable. But I think in a situation like this, the way it dies is you stop adding wood to the fire.
Yes.
You just let it die. And listen, I'm telling you what I learned about people. They're going to believe what they want to believe regardless of what you say.
Right.
People want to believe what they want to believe because some people, and then some people don't care.
Mm-hmm. That's true too.
Next, you wait, just keep waiting because another news cycle is going to come. Something else crazy is going to happen. And people will not even remember that thing happened. That's how quickly the news cycles turn here in this 21st century that we're in, especially in the year of our Lord, 2024. I don't know what's going on, what's in the water, but stay buckled in because some other stuff is going to happen. And we got to be mindful and prayerful because this is a different season. You can feel it.
Yeah. Yeah. Right? You are absolutely right. And I was trying to make sure, because I almost thought I saw somewhere that Mark Driscoll has a book either coming or something like that about the spirit of Jezebel, which then made me go, wait, was this publicity for that? I hope not either.
Well, I'll tell you this right now. If we will be back on another podcast, because I have a lot to say about it, because I don't, like I said, I know of Mark Driscoll. When I hear him break down the word, it always seems to be within the parameters of scriptural exegesis and how we're supposed to deal with scripture and handle scripture.
Right.
I just feel like, you know, I'm gonna say this statement. I don't know, maybe I shouldn't say, but if you're a former stripper, stay away from poles. You know,
that's a fair statement, though.
Well, I mean, if you're a former, and the reason I say it is because, man, let not your good be evil spoken. And sometimes it's difficult to discern in the moment. So don't get me wrong. I mean, if it's a skill, because not everyone can go horizontal on a pole.
Right.
So if it's but Olympic people do it. So if it's a skill that you have and it's a part of your clean way of making a living, I get it. Mm-hmm. But just know if your goal is to put distance between you and your past, and you have an apparatus in your possession that you use in public, and it's on display, then there may be someone who is familiar with your past that will try to marry you to what you used to do and try to say that this is that. Just be mindful, be wise. The Bible says, be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Just be careful. In these days, we need wisdom more than we need anything else.
Yeah, and I think that's the overarching sentiment here, whether it's, you know, the young man who was doing this and perhaps the wisdom to say, hey, I can do this in other spaces and it's not a problem at all.
Yeah.
But maybe him even declining the church space to say, I just don't think this will be received well, to, you know, the pastor having the wisdom to say, is this appropriate for this conference? To, you know, that being Lindell, to Driscoll saying, is it appropriate for me to say this openly without having talked? Like, so it just seems like wisdom all the way around. Yeah.
You know something, Gerard, I'm going to say this is going to blow your mind. So I often mention this. When Jesus walked the earth, Rome was the most corrupt, immoral place in the world. Not just Rome, but everywhere, every one of its provinces, to include Judea.
Wow.
So what I'm saying is that, but he never talked about specific things.
Right.
He preached the kingdom. Here's why. Because people could see. Mm-hmm. Jesus, what Jesus came to do, he came to invite us to the kingdom of God, which has a stronger gravitational pull than anything in the world. Once you put people's minds in, you put them in context of where the kingdom is, the kingdom goes to work.
Yeah.
So I was preaching a funeral this week, and all I did was preach Jesus.
Yeah. Yeah.
At the end of the service, when I made the invitation, 8 people got saved.
Amazing.
Right? It never ceases to amaze me. At every time I will preach Jesus, people, he will draw men unto him, right? Yes. What we get caught up in, I think, a lot of times is, and then we put it in the name of, well, the church needs to be purified, but we're not the purifiers of the church. The Lord is the one that baptizes us with the Holy Ghost, with fire. The Lord is the one that brings cleansing. I mean, of course, we don't want to be ignorant and we don't want to be complicit. We want to speak to things that need to be addressed. But this thing that's going back and forth, I think they need to stand down. And if I find out that Mark Driscoll did this off a book, anybody care about your book, man? We care about your love. I mean, anyway, that's
not me. Yeah, and so this is a wild one. So I know you guys have plenty of comments. So by all means, let us have them. We want to hear them. Of course, use the hashtags either Heart to Heart or On Course. Or, of course, you can reach out to Pastor Hart on those socials at Hart Ramsey. Now, make sure you subscribe to our podcast. Again, this season has been incredible. All sorts of amazing conversations that you'll need to go back and revisit. It'll certainly help you throughout the year as more of these kinds of scenarios keep popping up. So we certainly look forward to helping you. Make sure, again, you're subscribed to the podcast, share it with some friends, and join us next time as we get On Course with Hart Ramsey.